Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Huntress Apprentice by Jamie Davis and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Marnie Young. Chapter 1.
Again,
Quinn groaned as she rose from the mat and squared herself to face Clark. The dark basement surrounded her in an oppressive silence. She heard nothing but her own breathing as she strained to draw in extra oxygen to try to recover some strength. She'd been down here for almost 2 hours, sparring with Clark.
I need a break, Quinn gasped. Again.
Clark's voice carried the even, stern tone he'd used in every one of their training sessions. No matter what Quinn did or said, he never seemed to lose his temper. It was one of the many things about her mentor that infuriated her. Nothing got under his skin. Quinn lunged forward, then ducked to sweep Clark's leg out from under him, while she tried to grab his shirt to pull him down to the mat beside her. The combination move was one he'd taught her earlier. She'd been struggling to get it right since. He blocked her attempt to clutch him with a forward thrust of his hands, separating her reaching arms before her hands could grab him. In a desperate attempt to salvage something from the exchange, she continued her leg sweep. Maybe she could still topple him. She should have known better. Clark's hands drove forward in a continuation of the blocking maneuver, fingers together, so his hands formed dual spears that jabbed Quinn's chest. The blow knocked her off balance, and her leg sweep ended up propelling her around, her arms windmilling to recover before she landed on her back. Quinn glared up at him. The hunter stepped forward. The bare incandescent bulb in the rafters of the basement ceiling silhouetted him, leaving his face in shadow. Quinn could see the barest hint of his head shake of disapproval.
Damn it, Clark. How am I supposed to make this work when you're expecting me to try the exact move I'm using? It's the definition of futility.
Clark's answer carried a stern tone of admonishment.
You expect your opponents to just let you try out your moves on them without countering?
I did all right in my first fight with the demons. Quinn's anger rose to meet the hunter's disappointment.
You were lucky. They'd been newly turned and possessed. They hadn't come into their full abilities in the new bodies yet.
Quinn shook her head.
I saved your butt, didn't I?
He didn't take the bait.
Could you do it against a more prepared and skillful opponent?
When Quinn didn't answer, Clark stepped back and gestured with one hand.
Get up. Again.
His dispassionate voice drove her anger to another level and sparked her to try something she hadn't used since the fight at the Versink building, almost a month before. When she concentrated on her strength and speed, a green bar appeared in her vision as she stared up at Clark. It was only at half charge. Focusing her mind, she drew upon her stamina level to boost her abilities and climbed back to her feet. Without waiting for Clark to gesture again, Quinn lunged forward, her enhanced speed and strength propelling her body at him. This time, when Clark's hands shot out to counter her attack, she moved so fast he was unable to bring his hands up before she'd breached his defenses. For the first time, Quinn's fingers clutched the fabric of Clark's flannel shirt, her grasp tightening at the same instant her sweeping leg connected with his ankles. To her delight, she glimpsed a hint of surprise in his eyes as she pulled him off balance, causing him to topple to the floor beside her. She continued the move with a roll that should have ended with her atop him, pinning him to the mat. Somehow, he got a knee raised in time to catch her in the chest as she descended on him. Before she could counter, Clark's leg straightened and propelled her over his head to land on the mat behind him. Quinn's breath whooshed from her lungs, but she pushed through the pain and lack of air, using her enhanced strength. She kicked her feet in the air and kipped back up to her feet again. She spun around, hands at the ready to defend herself from any counterattack. Clark had regained his feet as well and stood a few feet from her, crouched and ready. This time, he nodded.
That was much better. You moved with a hunter's speed and agility that time.
Yeah, but I can't do that all the time. I only have so much power to draw upon. Clark's head cocked to one side.
What do you mean? You'll get tired like any person. Still, you'll be able to outlast most mundane opponents, and even most supernaturals, if you're careful. Quinn hadn't told anyone about her ability to use the VR skills she'd gained inside the Versync training system in the real world. She'd tried to keep it a secret. This was the first time she'd used it in training with Clark. "I have this thing. I can sometimes do. It's sort of like a skill in a video game." Clark stared at her and shook his head. He didn't understand what she'd said. "When I first went into the Versync system, I discovered I had certain abilities, the kind you'd gain in any sort of VR game setup. I could boost my strength to increase my speed and agility by drawing on my stamina stores."
"And you can do that here and now, outside their VR system?"
Quinn nodded.
"How long have you known you could do this?"
"Since the beginning. I used it in my fights in the building when we were trying to escape. It's how I was able to match the demon-possessed strength of Cindy and the others."
"What else can you do besides this? Did you gain other skills?"
"I haven't tried them all, but I assume I can use the tracking ability and some of the other skills I had inside the training system."
"Why didn't you tell me about this sooner? This is important."
Quinn shrugged. "I didn't tell anyone because I was afraid it might mean I was still connected to their system somehow. I thought if I used it, they might be able to find out where we're hiding." Clark shook his head.
"Maybe that's true, but it could also explain why I can't get you to access your hunter attributes, despite all our training sessions."
"You helped me learn to use the magic in my amulet to hide in shadows. I wasn't inside the VR world then."
"Yes, but that was the power of the amulet. Those abilities are connected to it, at least initially, not to your hunter lineage.
Somehow, the magical interface of the amulet, coupled with the technology of the VR system, enabled you to access your hunter side inside the training scenarios and slayer hunts." Clark reached out to the wooden post supporting the ceiling and tossed her a towel hanging from a hook there.
"I need to talk to Miranda about this. Maybe we've been going about your training all wrong. Come on upstairs."
Quinn caught the towel as Clark turned toward the steps leading to the main floor of the farmhouse. She pressed the soft terry cloth against her face, wiping her sweat-soaked skin. Her dark hair, damp with sweat, hung about her face, clinging to her cheeks and forehead. The dark locks had started out pulled back into a ponytail, but all the training of the last 2 hours had shaken most of it loose. She'd given up trying to keep it in place between bouts. The training here, day in and day out, would have worn her down, but Quinn kept her focus on her ultimate goal, inspired by that mysterious voice she had first heard barely a month before.
"Welcome, and well done, my daughter. My Quinn, my new huntress,"
the woman's voice had said in her mind. To Quinn, it hinted at something she'd long dreamed of, a family. Now she saw their small group, the four of them, as the beginning of a new family, one she could build to become whatever she wanted it to be. But it all hinged on her learning the hunter skills from Clark and matching them until she became a true huntress, one with a full clan behind her and not just an initiate. She headed for the open wooden steps leading up to the farmhouse's kitchen. Clark had brought her and Taylor here, along with the witch, Miranda. He chose this secluded location as a hideout after their escape from the Versync building. The property was located about 20 minutes north of Baltimore, where a few patches of farmland still remained amidst the sprawl of housing developments and businesses. This particular farm was vacant, and according to the sign at the end of the long lane leading out to the main road, up for auction in a few more weeks. When that happened, they'd have to relocate. Clark's animated voice met her as Quinn reached the kitchen. It differed from the passionless monotone he used most of the time.
"I think we had a breakthrough just now. Quinn did something I haven't seen her do before."
Miranda smiled at Quinn as she entered the room and turned back to Clark. "What kind of something?"
"She finally displayed some of the hunter's strength and speed I've been trying to unlock in her. Usually we begin training young initiates at the age of 10. That way, when they hit puberty and their abilities manifest, they're prepared to access them through the hours of meditation and training we've given them. With Quinn, I had to try something different."
Quinn stared at Clark and said, "That was why you kept me down there for hours every day? To force me to release some sort of hidden abilities?" Clark nodded.
"I didn't know any other way. If you remember, I tried to get you to meditate. You laughed it off and wouldn't give it a serious try. Given your prior martial arts training, I figured I could use a different sort of focused attention to spark you, to release your skills."
Quinn began to snap out an angry reply, but Miranda cut her off. "So, then, I guess your plan worked?"
"Yes and no," Clark said. "At least, not the way I expected it to. I think I understand now why I couldn't unlock her abilities myself. It had already happened inside the VersSync VR system. The combination of technology and magic in their VR rig had already done it."
Quinn huffed and said, "It could have saved us both a lot of time and pain if you'd only told me what you were trying to do. You know, you're really failing at the mentoring gig. It's like you've never done anything like this before."
"I haven't."
"What?" Quinn and Miranda replied in unison.
"I was barely an apprentice hunter when the purges began 20 years ago. I only escaped being discovered and killed through blind luck."
"But I thought," Quinn began. Clark shook his head.
"I'd been through most of the training, but I hadn't reached the level of Master Hunter, where I'd have my own initiates to train. The rest of the clan members were killed before then."
Quinn's anger bubbled up. "You lied to me, Clark. You told me you could train me to become the huntress I was destined to be. And I have. It just took us longer to get there, partly because you didn't tell me everything you could already do."
"I was afraid to," Quinn said. "I told you. I was afraid they could track me if I used the skill outside their building or VR setup."
Clark shook his head.
"If that was the case, why'd you use it today?"
"Because I got so pissed off, I didn't care anymore. You stood there with that smug look on your face while you countered everything I could throw at you. I had to take you down just once."
Miranda laughed. "You two need to come up with a better way to communicate with each other. All you do is fight and argue. It sounds like this could have been solved with a little one-on-one communication."
Taylor, Quinn's best friend, walked into the kitchen with an empty red plastic cup in her hand. Her wireless headphones hung around her neck.
"Don't stop fighting on my account. I'm just here to get some water. I've been listening from the dining room, and the whole thing is super entertaining. Your daily training arguments almost make it bearable to be stuck here in the middle of nowhere."
The mousy blonde got a pitcher of filtered water from the fridge and filled her cup, then took a sip.
"What's the issue today? Is our trainee huntress still not progressing to your man standards?"
Clark ignored Taylor's dig and turned to Quinn.
"Go get a shower and cool down. We can talk more about this when you're finished. This is a breakthrough. I wish it happened sooner, but at least it happened."
Quinn started to say something, but decided Clark's attempt at defusing the situation was probably for the best. Besides, she just felt grimy. Flipping the towel up over her shoulder, Quinn nodded and headed to the hallway by the front door and the stairs to the second floor. A shower would feel good after 2 grueling hours of hard work. Chapter 2 Clark waited for Quinn to leave and start up the stairs before he spoke. His voice lowered, so it didn't carry beyond the kitchen.
"I think this will change everything. She has no idea how close I was to giving up on getting her training to work. Even if she was the daughter of a Hunter Clan member, I don't know of any precedent for beginning training of someone her age."
Taylor shook her head.
"I'm missing something. What happened today that's different?"
"I couldn't unlock her hunter abilities, because she'd already done it. We just didn't know it."
Taylor laughed.
"I told you last week you were approaching this all wrong. Quinn is special. I've always known it, as long as we've been best friends. She's always done things her own way, and they have a habit of working out. How did you find out she'd already broken through your little hunter wall?"
Clark ignored her attempted dig. "It came up downstairs just now. I'm not entirely sure where we go from here, but I think I'll need your help to figure it out."
"Mine? Why me?" Taylor asked.
because her breakthrough happened when she was at Versync, inside the VR training system.
Taylor seemed confused. Clark continued,
I'm guessing it's something to do with her wearing the amulet, coupled with the magic and technology interface they used to send you, Quinn, and the other candidates out as slayers. I was hoping you and Miranda would be able to explain it to me. She's our resident witch, and you're, well, I guess you're our tech witch.
A broad grin crossed Taylor's face.
Tech witch? I like that.
It's a whole lot better than garden variety hacker. Clark chuckled. Taylor's inclusion in their little band had been the one part he'd initially resisted. He didn't see how she was going to contribute until Quinn got her hooked up on a used laptop he had bought from a pawn shop on one of his regular runs into the city for supplies. Since none of them could go home to get their things, it was the best he could do, and she said she needed it to get them all some semblance of civilization in their new home. She had managed to fire it up, get them free internet from the cable box at the end of the lane, and even managed to hack into the power grid and get the power turned back on. The real bonus was how she diffused tense situations with her quirky humor and ever-present positive attitude. Perpetually perky people like Taylor bugged him, but as soon as he saw the effect she had on Quinn, Miranda, and even him, he realized she was an asset to the team.
Hopefully you'll live up to the moniker, kid. Now that I've figured out how to break through to Quinn's inherent abilities, I need you and Miranda to come through in a big way.
Miranda stood, pouring a fresh cup of coffee from the old drip coffee maker left on the counter when the previous residents moved out. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know anything about training a new hunter. You're the expert there.
I can handle the training end, but I need you to come up with a way to duplicate the VR gear Versync used to create their system. It had both tech and magical components. I think you two are going to have to work together to get it done.
Taylor shook her head.
I'm not usually the one to crap on anyone's ideas, but what you're asking is nearly impossible. I saw their system and understood what they were doing. At least, I thought I did, before I discovered they were using magic against us, too. They had top-level equipment and customized gear much better than anything you could find in a random pawn shop in the city.
She's right, Clark, Miranda said. Not to mention the issues we've had duplicating the magic spells they used to get their system to even work. I wouldn't know where to start conjuring something like that.
Oh, I can help with that, Taylor said.
Both Clark and Miranda turned to stare at her. Clark said,
You just got done saying you couldn't do anything to help.
I didn't say that. I said I didn't have the gear to do it and didn't think it would be easy to find. The how of doing it is different. I got a pretty good look at the code they were using once they left me alone in the control room for my VR suite. I couldn't resist scrolling down to see how their system was coded. I never forget anything I read. Most of it is right up here.
Taylor tapped her head with one finger.
Miranda shook her head. But that's the code, the computer stuff. How does that help me come up with a spell?
Easy. There were things in the lines of code that didn't make any sense to me at the time. Now that I've had some time to think about it, especially after talking with you about the nature of magic, I think I know what those extra nonsense lines of code meant.
You think they were some sort of spell written into the software?
Clark asked.
Taylor nodded and gestured to Miranda. You told me last week that magical energy harnessed something somehow related to the magnetic field of the Earth running along hidden lines in the Earth around us.
Miranda nodded.
Yes, ley lines.
I did some research because I didn't understand how these hidden energy lines worked. I figured out they're kind of like longitude and latitude lines, just more chaotic. As soon as I figured that out, the lines of code in my head kind of figured themselves out.
Miranda smiled. I think I see where you're going. I couldn't figure out how Versync was teleporting the Slayers physically out into the real world while still tapping into their VR world skills. If the code referred to ley line coordinates, they could be used to target a specific location on the map. That would enable the spellcaster to send the Slayers to that location while inside the training system.
Exactly, Taylor said.
A beaming smile spread across her face. Clark looked from one woman to the other and back again.
I don't understand. So can you recreate the VR system they used on you all to create the Slayer assassins, or not?
Taylor and Miranda both nodded. Miranda said, If what Taylor says is true, then it's possible we could pool our efforts together to create a similar effect, at least magically.
Taylor's smile turned into a frown. The magic is the easy part. We still don't have the right equipment to do what we need to do. It'll take way more than just a 2-year-old laptop to do what we need them to do. I can't modify that hunk of junk to do anything approaching the computing power we'd need. I might be able to modify my old system at home if you'd let me go home and get it.
Clark jumped in.
No. No going back to our homes. For any of us. It would be too risky. Even for me. And I don't think they have any tracking info on me. It's definitely out of the question for you and Quinn. There has to be a better way we can get the gear you need to do what is necessary.
Sure. If you have $50,000 and a dedicated team of assembly techs.
Taylor quipped.
What we need is gear from VersSync itself.
How are we supposed to do that? Miranda asked. We barely made it out the last time we were there.
I know, Taylor said. It's impossible to do. I was just trying to explain how specialized their gear is. Too bad we can't get back in there for a few minutes. That's all I'd need inside one of the storerooms in the VR training wing. I saw one of them while I was there. There were several older versions of the VR rig in it. I'm sure we could get everything we need there, and no one would even miss it. It's outdated technology from their standpoint.
Clark started to say no to the idea, but he thought about how hard it had been to train Quinn so far. It had taken a month to have the single breakthrough she'd had. There was something extraordinary about her. He could feel it deep inside. He also could feel that her abilities would only come to fruition if he could get her trained in time to make it count.
We might not have a choice,
Clark said to himself in a low voice.
What was that? Miranda asked. You're not actually considering going back in there to try some sort of heist, are you?
Clark shrugged.
It's worth thinking about. Quinn needs this gear to train. I don't know why or how, but she does.
He glanced at Taylor.
How much gear are we talking about here? Are we going to need a big truck, or is it something one or two of us could carry out by hand?
Taylor considered his question for a few seconds before answering.
I guess we could carry what I'd need with two people. It would be heavy, but I think we could handle it. It would be easier if we had a cart or something like that.
Okay, so if we can get in there, is there a way for you to watch as we go in and tell us what you need us to grab?
Taylor crossed her arms.
I suppose that means you're not taking me along?
It's possible for Quinn and me to slip inside without being seen. I have no way to hide you.
Taylor humphed.
Fine. I suppose I could come up with a remote wireless camera system you could wear. Then I could help you pick out what I needed from the pile. I'd have to be pretty close by, though, because we can't use a long-distance connection over the web. They'd surely detect that. A locally generated signal might be able to slip past their systems, since it wouldn't be on standard Wi-Fi or cellular signal carrier.
I have no idea what you just said,
Clark replied.
Of course not. That's because I'm the tech witch. And you're not.
Taylor laughed.
Yes, I can rig up a system to communicate with you so you can get the things I need. I'll need a few more things from that pawn shop of yours, and maybe a run to the Megamart to get a few final items.
Clark smiled.
Good. Make your list. I'll make a run out to shop. You start putting the camera rig together. Once we have that working, we can figure out a way to get back inside the VersSync grounds.
Miranda shook her head. You know they'll have plugged any of the gaps they had in their perimeter wards.
I'm counting on it, Clark replied. I want them to think they've got nothing to worry about. Then, when you and our little tech witch here hacks the magical and technological security systems, they won't know what hit them. Put your heads together and come up with a game plan. I'll go out and get the shopping done as soon as Taylor makes her list.
Taylor already had her phone out and was tapping away with her thumbs. It was one of the burner phones she'd hacked to work together in a local network with the ones the others carried. A few seconds later, a buzz in Clark's pocket told him he had a text. He pulled out the phone and tapped the message to open it.
His eyebrows shot up. This is everything? You're sure you can make what you need from this?
Yep, Taylor said. I've got this. Don't worry. You've got Taylor, the teenaged tech witch, on your side.
Clark resisted a groan, grabbing his car keys and wondering if he'd somehow created a monster with his label for the girl. Too late now, though. He hoped she'd live up to the name once he'd filled her strange shopping list. Chapter 3 Quinn rubbed the towel into her long, dark hair, trying to wring the remaining water from it as she stood in front of the scratched and stained bathroom mirror. She couldn't help but notice the dark circles under her eyes. Clark's daily training bouts had taken a toll on her. Even with her ability to heal faster than most people, each night, her body felt like she'd been run over by a city bus until she got a good night's sleep. She knew she should be happier with her accomplishment. This was the first time she'd had any success during training bouts against her teacher. His infuriating, passionless glare irked her. He drove her to press so hard to succeed that she dug into reserves in her unenhanced human stamina she hadn't known she'd had before. Quinn sighed. Perhaps that had been the point. Her lacrosse coach in high school had driven her harder than she thought she could take on more than one occasion. It usually led her to a standout play and team victory. She didn't want to admit Clark's training regimen might actually have some merit. She heard his old sedan's engine fire up outside, and she walked to the window. Clark drove down the tree-lined lane to the main road a quarter mile away. Where was he going? Quinn hung the towel on the rod by the shower to dry and got dressed. She pulled her hair up into a high ponytail to keep it up off her neck and headed downstairs. Miranda and Taylor sat at the dining room table, huddled over the laptop, chatting about something.
Hey, where did Clark head off to?
He just went grocery shopping yesterday. Did he forget something? Taylor looked up from the screen and smiled.
No, he's doing some shopping for me. We're all going on a mission to break into the Versink building again.
Why in the hell would we want to do that? Quinn asked.
Because, Taylor replied, there's stuff we need there to recreate the VR system. Clark thinks we need it so you can continue your training the right way.
Quinn raised up her hand to stop her friend before she said anything else.
What kind of crazy idea did you all hatch while I was upstairs in the shower? I think I should have been consulted about anything like sending me back into that damned VR system.
Miranda smiled and said,
It's fine, Quinn. Clark's idea makes sense. You'll progress in your training faster using a VR system. This time, it'll be different.
He asked Taylor and me to try to recreate something like it here. You won't be in their system. You'll be in ours. I promise you'll be safe. Taylor nodded.
Miranda and I were just going through some lines of the Versink code I memorized. I'm showing her the references to specific spell magic interspersed throughout the programming. With that, I'm sure we can make it work.
Taylor's right, Quinn, Miranda said. I think I can extrapolate the spells they used to send people into their training system. If it works, we could create training scenarios with Clark that should allow you to unlock more skills to add to your Huntress arsenal. Quinn smiled at that last bit. Miranda understood about Quinn's insistence on using the feminine form of Hunter when referring to herself. Clark resisted, of course, but he was just a pig-headed man. He'd get over it, especially if the rest of them used the correct terminology when referring to Quinn. He kept insisting that, back in the day, the Hunters who were women never referred to themselves that way. Her answer every time he mentioned it was to tell him it was a different world than it was 18 years ago. It would be nice to have an easier time accomplishing things during the training sessions. He puts me through hell when I don't succeed.
Taylor laughed. I wouldn't count on that. I think he lives for new ways to come up with training that hurts.
Taylor had been doing some self-defense training with Clark when he was finished with Quinn every day. She'd seen her friend limping around in the evenings, enough to know he was as hard on Taylor as he was on his Huntress pupil. It was like he only had one setting, and that was at maximum, hardcore difficulty level, for anything he did. Quinn returned her friend's chuckle.
I can hear him saying,
Train hard to win.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?